This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
WBBM News Time 12:05. It's Monday, a great one. It's May 14th. Good afternoon. I'm Regine Schlesinger.
And I'm Chris Kreidel. We'll probably see some more rain and storms as we head through the afternoon and the evening. Right now, it's partly cloudy, partly sunny at O'Hare and 68 degrees, 66 at the lakefront.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour is presented by Old Second Bank. We've seen a little bit of dissipation of the gains on Wall Street, but they're still up. Let's get the latest with Elisa Parenti.
That's right, Regine and Chris. The Dow is up 84 points. We were pretty close to 25K. Right now, we're 24,916, a gain of a third of a percent. NASDAQ higher by 16, S&P up 3 now. The Bloomberg WBBM Chicago Index has slipped into the red and is falling 0.2%. Investors are tuned into international events. This week, the U.S. will host Chinese delegates to talk trade. After cutting off ZTE's U.S. suppliers, Trump now says he's working with Chinese President Xi to get ZTE back into business. That reversal is seen as a sign the U.S. wants to find common areas and compromise with China on trade. The main benchmark in Hong Kong rallied 1.3%. Now, the economic news picks up as the week goes on. Tomorrow, we'll get a look at retail sales, a sentiment reading from home builders, and quarterly results from Blue Chip Home Depot. Back to you, Regine and Chris.
Thanks, Elisa. On today's Noon Business Hour, we're going to talk a little more about the president's attempt to save the major Chinese company. And also, we kick off our annual Education Week here on News Radio.
And we'll also have our stock picker this afternoon. That's coming up.
It's 60 Minutes of Financial Planning. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
This is Education Week on the Noon Business Hour, as we do every year, and we're going to be examining the best values in public and private colleges in our next segment. Right now, President Trump makes a move involving a trade with China, and the Supreme Court issues a major ruling on sports gambling. We're joined by Peter Morici, a professor emeritus at the University of Maryland, syndicated columnist in College Park, and he's on Twitter at PMorici1. Peter, thanks for joining us today. Let's talk about the move that the president has made, saying that he wants to help save a large Chinese company.
Well, ZTE has been targeted by the Commerce Department even prior to Mr. Trump because it poses somewhat of a security risk, and it violated sanctions with regard to Iran. And in doing so, it's been cut off from U.S. supplies of components, which basically puts it out of business. Because although it makes some very interesting products for the Internet, it needs U.S.-made components to make them run. And that is problematic for the Chinese. And they are like this. They are a significant producer of cell phones as well. In any case, the president is offering essentially a deal. As you know, we put in place tariffs on steel and aluminum, and in turn, they targeted some agricultural exports, so he's holding ZTE hostage. Now, you know, that's an interesting perspective. The Commerce Department on its own has targeted ZTE as a problem from a security point of view. So is he willing to trade a security consideration for agricultural exports? It's very, very interesting position that he's in.
Yeah, do you think he is willing to do that?
Well, apparently he is. Now, the question is, is the Commerce Department satisfied? ZTE is complaining that some functionaries made mistakes, and it is not the policy of their company to violate the sanctions. Through all, China was applying sanctions on Iran as well at the time. I don't know. I mean, it's very hard to say because we don't have all the information, but it certainly does raise a lot of alarms and red flags and so forth. And I'm quite concerned that we're starting to cut little deals with China when we have a big systemic problem with China, and little deals aren't going to solve our trade deficit.
Peter, let's take a look at the other big story of the day, the U.S. Supreme Court ruling that states that want to can set up sports gambling, gambling on individual games. How significant is this?
Well, I think it's quite significantly. Historically, the regulation of morals through restrictions on what people can buy and sell, be it prostitution, gambling, and so forth, has been up to the states. It's not been a federal prerogative, but with the Internet, we have all kinds of issues. You know, Nevada has can have sports gambling, and people can gamble across state lines. In this case, there's a prohibition on gambling at the federal level with regard to collegiate sports, you know, the NCAA tournament, and pro sports, let's say the NFL. However, there was a set-aside for Nevada and in some liminal circumstances a few other western states. So they have continued to game in that way. Well, if it poses a significant moral issue or corruption issue and so forth, that grandfathering doesn't make sense. And so on its face, federal policy makes no sense. And the Supreme Court is returning authority to the states where it belongs. Illinois, if Nevada wants to put an NBA betting site up or you know, permit a private firm to do it and people in Vermont to bet by Internet that way, then why shouldn't Illinois?
And Illinois has significant revenue problems, financial problems, so this might be a temptation.
There is nothing you can do for the state of Illinois that will ever satisfy that, because the unions that have your state tied up, every last nickel you raise, they will get their hands on. Until the state of Illinois has constitutional reform, passing in another tax, putting up a gambling casino, you know, until you're basically willing to strip yourselves naked and give everything you own to the state of Illinois, the unions that have held your state captive won't be happy.
Well, quite a graphic analogy. Thanks very much, Peter. Peter Morici is professor emeritus at the University of Maryland, and you can follow him on Twitter at PMorici1. Still ahead, look at the University of Illinois school system as part of our Education Week. And for more on the business of getting into college, go to WBBMNewsRadio.com/education.
Your best stock option. This is the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
This is Education Week on the WBBM Noon Business Hour, sponsored by Huntington Learning Center and St. Xavier University. We're focusing right now on the best values in higher education. We welcome Mark Wino, Senior Associate Editor of Kiplinger's Personal Finance Magazine and Kiplinger.com. Mark joins us from Washington. Mark, first of all, tell us the criteria for how you determine whether a school is a good value.
Sure thing. Well, we look at two really big categories. One is the quality measures, and that's the majority of our rankings. We look for things such as competitiveness, graduation rates, and academic support. In the form of competitiveness, we're looking for admission rates, the percentage of applicants that are offered admission, as well as the yield, which is the percentage of students who decide to enroll in those schools. We also look for test scores as well, students that scored well on standardized tests such as the SAT and ACT. As far as grad rates are concerned, we look for those students that score that have schools that have really strong four-year graduation rates, really high up on the percent there, and as well as for academic support, we look at freshman retention rates. You know, the freshmen that enroll, do they continue to stick around at that institution for their sophomore and into their senior years?
And are you looking at this, strictly on a basis of earning power once you leave school?
Well, that's one of the factors, although we don't rank our colleges on earning powers per se, because those factors it all depends. It's very subjective. But we do also look at the cost of and financial aid of a school. You know, just because the school has a large sticker price doesn't necessarily mean that the net price is that high either. There are a lot of noble institutions throughout public and private schools that may be pricey on the outside, but when you start factoring in academics and student financial assistance and grants as well too, the schools are very accommodative of students that may not be able to afford a four-year college like Harvard or Yale, but you know, the school recognizes their academic strengths and achievements and compensates for that.
In fact, we've heard of a small trend, at least, of some students going to a two-year community college first and getting their act together, and then moving over to four-year colleges.
You know, it certainly helps because you've got your core requirement classes, which transfer, which a lot of universities will accept, as long as it shows that the students have achieved a certain degree of academic achievement in those classes, they can easily transfer them over to their university and continue on their course.
So you found Princeton was the top-rated school. Tell us about some of the Illinois schools and how they ranked.
Well, as you can imagine, University of Chicago, which has been on one of the top, it's ranked at number 44 on our overall list. It's actually the top of the Illinois schools on our list, and they've got a very competitive admit rate. They only have 8% of students that apply get admitted, and they have a very strong four-year grad rate. What's interesting, too, is that their sticker price, which is north of $73,000, with the average need-based aid that's awarded, again, this is average, it's not per student, different students have different needs, but on average, we've seen University of Chicago lower their price by about 60%, so it's much more affordable than paying the sticker price, as well as for Northwestern University, Go Wildcats. You know, they have a very competitive admit rate of 11%, a very high four-year grad rate, and the average need-based aid, which takes their sticker price from $70,000, goes down to about $31,000. So there's a lot of affordability in highly regarded schools.
Mark, always good to talk to you for our annual look here at the colleges. Mark Wino is a senior associate editor at Kiplinger's personal finance magazine, Kiplingers.com in Washington. Still ahead, we take a look at the University of Illinois school system as part of Education Week. And more on the business of getting into college, go to WBBMNewsRadio.com/education. WBBM News Time 12:25. Let's check the markets with Elisa Peretti.
Chris, the Dow up 61 points now, or 0.25%. NASDAQ gaining 11. S&P up just 1. The Wintrust WBBM Chicago Index from Bloomberg lower by about 0.2%. Tesla's CEO Elon Musk has a restructuring plan that will cut mid-level managers. So he's looking for a flatter organizational chart, and it comes as Tesla's engineering chief Doug Field takes a leave of absence, and as another senior exec departs for Google's driverless program, Waymo. Tesla's executive revolving door is one of the reasons investors have been selling shares. The stock is in a correction, down more than 10% since the first of the year. Crude oil at $70.91. For a check of the grains, we turn to Pete Manhart at Bates Commodities in Normal. Pete?
At the moment, we have a little higher corn, sharply higher beans, and lower wheat. We've been that day most of the day. Corn's at a 3-cent range. We're up a half cent right now in December at 4.15. Beans for November up 13 at 10.27 and a quarter with a 30 high. Note July's are up 19 at 10.22 and a half with a 26 high. And July wheat down 3.5 at 4.95 and a quarter, 4.5 off their low. And this is Pete Manhart at Bates Commodities in Normal.
Thank you, Pete. I'm Elisa Parenti. News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
WBBM News Time 12:30. Good afternoon. I'm Regine Schlesinger.
I'm Chris Kreidel. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM.
Markets have some gains today. We'll talk about what's moving Wall Street.
It's Stock Picker Monday. We'll have some suggestions from an investment pro.
In another Education Week segment, we put the focus on schools in the University of Illinois system.
Governor Rauner's proposing an amendatory veto that would bring back the death penalty to Illinois.
The world's largest body of Muslim-majority nations condemns the Trump administration decision to move the U.S. Embassy in Israel to Jerusalem.
Wall Street, the Dow up 66.5, the NASDAQ 10.5, and the S&P 500 up by 1.
68 degrees headed for 79 with some more storms on the way. WBBM News Time 12:31, the WBBM Noon Business Hour, is presented by Old Second Bank.
Well, the stocks are a little higher on Wall Street on this Monday. We're talking with Michael Palumbo, manager at the TMT Perseverance Fund and author of the book Calculated Risk here in Chicago. Michael, welcome back to the Noon Business Hour. What is moving the markets today?
Well, good afternoon, Chris and Regine. It's been actually a slow morning, but there is one big news event, and that was the Supreme Court ruling this morning on sports betting and states' rights. So that's moving some specific sectors. Other than that, we're pretty flat.
And what could that do in terms of the economy?
Well, you know, basically what happened is the Supreme Court voted 7-2 to strike down a federal law saying that it's unconstitutional to ban sports betting in the states. And it basically now allows states to make their own laws. That's going to open up. This happened basically for the state of New Jersey, but it applies for all the states. And Illinois is definitely one of the states that will benefit from this, because I think they'll bring sports betting to the state. That should add to revenues. And as we know, there's a big, you know, crisis here in the state of Illinois and in other states with pension obligations. And this should help balance the budget.
How is it going to affect us, private companies that are already in the betting markets?
You know, that's a great question. So what we've seen today is some of the gambling stocks are up, some are down, and my feeling is the reason is that there are some stocks that are heavily in Las Vegas, so they're not going to benefit from this. Actually, they'll probably be hurt a little bit, like Wynn Resorts and Las Vegas Sands, but some of the other stocks that have more operations outside of Las Vegas, where they're going to start to be able to enter the industry, like International Game Technology, stocks like that are up very significantly. And another offshoot of this, which is interesting, and we don't talk about this much, is the medical marijuana industry and the marijuana industry in general. All those stocks are up very big today, because I think it signals that the Supreme Court is going to allow states to determine their own fates as far as some of these industries, and that would include, I would think, medical marijuana. So you know, you're going to see more states make it legal. You're going to see more states make it even recreationally legal, and that should help those stocks a lot. And they're up 5 to 10% today.
There's a trade with China category. I don't know if you've been following this. The president, Donald Trump, is saying that he wants to get behind ZTE, which is having some problems, and get it back to business as quickly as possible. It's a large telecom company. What do you think about that? And there are some who are saying that this is a security risk.
Well, you know, that's not an area that we look at too much, but I will make a comment that it is very important that we protect, you know, our interests when we're dealing with China in every aspect. And so I think with President Trump, he's come out fairly strong in protecting U.S. interests. You'll see down the road that China and the United States are going to be battling in a lot of sectors, and how it plays out is going to be a big determinant on a lot of companies' fates. And this is just one case, but you're going to see a lot of battling, both economically and maybe even militarily, over the next 10 to 20 years as China tries to you know, become equal with the United States, and we'll see how it all plays out.
Mike, we have some big retailers that'll be reporting earnings this week, among them Home Depot, Macy's, and Walmart. Are there any bright spots within the retail sector that you see?
There certainly are. The retail industry, I think, overall has been overly, the news has been overly pessimistic, because retailers as a whole, when you talk about Walmart and obviously Amazon, those are very healthy companies. You have some specialty retailers that are having problems because they can't get the foot traffic, because Amazon is basically eating a lot of these businesses alive. You have Sears, you have JCPenney, so there's a lot of names that are negatively affected. But some of the earnings that are coming out this week are stocks that are actually very healthy, and Walmart being one of them. I expect them to do well, and I think that it's very healthy to have Walmart and Amazon battling each other. It kind of keeps them both in check.
Mike, thanks so much. Mike Palumbo is manager of the TMT Perseverance Fund and author of the book Calculated Risk. Coming up, Education Week continues with the president of the University of Illinois System.
An economy of words. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It is our annual Education Week here on the WBBM Noon Business Hour. This afternoon, we're joined by Tim Colleen, president of the University of Illinois System in Urbana-Champaign. Tim, you oversee all of the University of Illinois branches, which have grown over the last few years.
Yeah. No, it's a wonderful time of year for us. Happy spring. We just graduated 22,000 newly minted, happy, talented graduates, and from our three distinctive universities.
And that's always an inspiring time for us all.
A little bit earlier, we were talking with someone from Kiplinger's about their annual list of the best values in colleges. And among public colleges, University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign came in 30th. Are you satisfied with that position, or you think that you take issue with it?
Well, we're committed to affordability. And as you may know, we've frozen tuition for the last 4 years. So in-state tuitions have seen no tuition increase for the fourth straight year, longest freeze in four decades. I want to keep that going if we can. So we're committed to making our world-class educational product as affordable as possible. Am I happy with 30? No, I'd like to be one, frankly. But we're working hard on it, and I assure you that affordability is key to our central mission as a public land-grant institutional.
What other challenges are you facing?
Well, I think we're looking hard at the issues of innovation and job creation and participation in civil society so that we focus not just on accessibility, affordability, but retention and graduation, and then also as our students go into the workforce, into success in civil society. I think there's some wonderful opportunities there for U of I graduates to really fully participate in the state's economy in ways that can really raise all boats in the harbor. And so we're focused on that. I think there's some low-hanging fruit in that regard that we're going to be actively engaged in developing, and I think Illinois will benefit from that. So our economic imprint is something that we're focused on.
Until the state budget crisis was resolved last summer, we saw that Illinois universities were struggling a bit as they relied on money from the state. Has that eased considerably, and are you worried about the problems cropping up again if the budget stalemate goes into effect again if we get round two?
Yes, it's definitely eased considerably with the restoration of the budgets, and we're very grateful for that. And we're advocating very strongly in Springfield and around the state, actually, that it's time to invest in public higher education. And we are concerned that we would slip back into that reference frame, but I'm an optimist. I don't think we will. It's time to make those kinds of investments. During the last few years, our enrollments have grown. Our demand side's up. It looks like next year we're also going to see a world record number of students coming to our doors. So we need the safe state investment. We want it to be reliable and sustained and predictable so that we can do our job optimally for all the residents of the state.
For the student who was not an A student, but who really wants to come to your college, how can he or she convince you that you're bringing in the right people?
Well, I would talk to the students and say, do your homework, work hard on your academics and burnish your credentials and apply. We've got three wonderful opportunities, options for students to come to the University of Illinois system. We go from the large Big Ten school at Urbana-Champaign to a fully comprehensive urban university in Chicago and then a small liberal arts university in Springfield, with all the kinds of disciplines and educational offerings that anybody could want, can be tailored to those interests. So I'd be very encouraging in that messaging. Obviously, we're a high-credentialed school. Our students who graduate go on to do wonderful things. But we have many of them. We have almost 84,000 students now, and we have a plan to grow that by the 93,000 by 2021. And we're seeing in this current year, actually, growth 7% or more in admissions and in applications. So please come. Please pay attention. Please join us. And I would be very optimistic and encouraging about any students who are interested.
Tim, we appreciate you joining us here for Education Week on the Noon Business Hour. Tim Killeen is president of the University of Illinois System. For more information on the business of getting into college, go to WBBMNewsRadio.com/education. We'll have more throughout the week. And join us at this time tomorrow for Travel Tuesday. Up next, our Monday Stock Picker.
An hour of financial planning each weekday. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It is Stock Picker Monday on the Noon Business Hour. We're joined by Adam Sarhan, founder and CEO of 50parkinvestments.com and findleadingstocks.com in New York. Welcome back to the Noon Business Hour. Adam, what's your first pick today?
It's a pleasure to be back. Thank you. So the first pick today is Square, ticker symbol is SQ. The theme for today's show, the two stocks are going to be about online payment processing. I always like looking at themes and then looking for the strongest stocks that express those themes. The first stock is Square. The second one is PayPal. And Square's, we're very familiar with them. Jack Dorsey, the guy who founded Twitter, literally founded Square. And he was the first guy, or the company Square was the first company to really bridge the gap between traditional brick-and-mortar retail stores in their online processing and payment collection, and then the online space. So anybody that has a brick-and-mortar store, I'm sure you've seen these when you go eat at a restaurant or you go check out at a dry cleaner. You can swipe your card. It's a nice little square, white little payment processing, or POS is what they call it, point-of-sales thing. The retailer, the merchant, has a good access to their customer information. They can have a lot of ongoing loyalty programs that are built in, really good software and good technology. And then also they can link it with their online store. So that's really beneficial for the retailer and also for the consumer because it's really easy to use it. Once you swipe your card, you can get a receipt with your text message or your email, and then you get loyalty points, et cetera, et cetera.
How long is it going to be before we're basically cashless a society?
It's really funny you mentioned that because I just had that conversation a few hours ago with a client where, you know, we were talking about where it's now literally almost an inconvenience to pay with cash. So whereas once, you know, when we all grew up, we remember a time where there was just that was the option or writing a check. But in today's day and age where digital payments and all this other stuff, it's a pain when a retailer, just certain people like I know only take cash. It's like, wait a minute, I have to go to the ATM machine, I have to get cash. I just ask them, do you have PayPal? Do you have, you know, can I send you money any other way? But it's now becoming an inconvenience to literally use cash, which is bizarre.
Square to the symbol SQ down a bit today, but it's near its 52-week high. You mentioned PayPal. That's your second pick today. Tell us about that one.
Yeah, sure. So PayPal is another one. They're the first ones. Elon Musk is the founder there, and Peter Thiel and a few other ones. If you Google the PayPal Mafia, a few of these guys that founded PayPal went on in their own right to form just mega, mega, mega giant companies after they left PayPal. But we're all familiar with them. What they do is they make it really easy for people to transfer money back and forth. In addition to collecting payments like Square does for the merchants, the other component here is that, let's say I want to send you money and you have PayPal and email address. I have PayPal. I can just literally take your email address and then send you as much money as I want. Or you can send me in the click of a mouse. So that's really convenient. And this whole trend of consumers and businesses moving to a cashless, to your point, cashless economy, PayPal and Square are both very well positioned to continue to grow over the next several years. And then I like looking at leading stocks, and both of these are very, very strong leading stocks in the market right now.
PayPal trading right now at just under $79 a share. Its symbol is PY. PL.
Thanks for coming on the program today, Adam. Adam Sarhan, founder, CEO of 50parkinvestments.com and findleadingstocks.com in New York. And a reminder to join us tomorrow when Education Week spotlights the small college experience. And you're going to find past programs later today, a podcast of this hour at WBBMNewsRadio.com and the all-new Radio.com app. WBBM News Time, 12:55, wrapping up the noon business hour. The Dow Industrials up 81 and the NASDAQ up 16. S&P 500 up by about 3. Let's get more with Elisa Parenti.
That's right, Chris. And the Wintrust WBBM Chicago Index from Bloomberg has dipped into the red. Part of the gains come as a result of President Trump's surprise move to protect jobs at a Chinese telecom equipment maker. It was blocked from using U.S. technology for violating trade sanctions on Iran and North Korea. Investors see this as a sign of abating trade tensions with China. Sears Holdings up more than 10% today. The company sold its Craftsman tools to Stanley Black & Decker last year. Now the Sears appliance brand Kenmore is next to be sold. Sears Holdings starting the sales process for Kenmore as well as home improvement services and an appliance part replacement business. With business at 25 and 55. Live from the Bloomberg Newsroom, Elisa Parenti, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
Brand new lottery numbers ahead. WBBM News Time 1257.
WBBM and HD Chicago. WCFS FM and HD1 Elmwood Park, Chicago.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.